You're listening to the DSR NHL Dynasty Podcast with your host, Christopher McDonald.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Christopher McDonald, your host and the commissioner of the Degenerates Stretch Run Dynasty League. You can find me on Twitter at CMAC Canada, and this is episode 4 of the DSR NHL Dynasty Podcast. Thanks for listening. Going to try something a little bit different this week. I am completely unscripted. The idea behind that is, you know, I think most of you that hung out with me know I can crack a few jokes, but I really do find it hard making jokes when I'm scripted, as well as, you know, with nobody in front of me to laugh. So we're going to give this one a try. No script. I've got a few notes to go with, and we'll see how it works. The voice you heard in the intro, that's my voice I use for either an old English woman, or I use it around the house for Mrs. Weasley whenever I'm doing Harry Potter stuff with my family. I'll do Mrs. Weasley in that voice, and I always say that's what it sounds like, because when my spouse reads to my daughter the books, she always does the voices, and I say that should be Mrs. Weasley's voice. So that's a little nod to the family. Although I wasn't as grisly as I usually do it, but, you know, I thought it was pretty good. So, yeah, the plan today, no interview. I've got something special planned for today. This is the episode where we see mid-season report cards. I'll go over a little bit about what that's going to look like and exactly how I got to the grades when we get to that section. We've got news and notes. We're going to do the game of the week review, and I have no idea which game I'm going to select until we get there, and we'll get an idea of how I select the game of the week, and you guys can sort of get an idea behind the process. And then in the final segment, honestly, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to ramble. I'm going to talk about some stuff that I've wanted to talk about in the league, and we'll see where that goes. And I don't know how long the episode's going to be. The last episode we did was longer. It was about double the size of my regular episodes. We went from 20 minutes to just under 40 minutes, just testing some stuff out, seeing how long the episode length should be, what people like, what they don't like. I kind of like the 20-minute format, but also if I have a great interview like we had last week, then I don't mind it being that little bit longer. I really enjoyed having two people to talk to versus, you know, hosting a typical interview, a little bit more of a round table with the discussion, and I may do that again in the future. Well, let's get to the news and notes, and we'll see how this whole unscripted thing goes as we keep going forward. NHL news and notes. I don't see that we had too many missed games last week, which is great for the league. A lot of times teams have really had rough weeks based on what happened that was completely out of their control when we've got missed games. But what I'm going to do a little bit differently here is I'm just looking over some of the headlines from last week, and I can see if they can spark some conversation here. Hockey Day in Canada, or Hockey Day in Canada, Hockey Day in America was on Sunday. Kind of a rough lineup. It went from the Sabres and Islanders to the Blackhawks and Tampa Bay Lightning in the afternoon. There was 2 5 o'clock games with Carolina and the Panthers, or if you were unlucky enough to get the Devils-Bruins game that ended in a 1-0 win for the Devils. Not the most entertaining of games, that's for sure, and pretty frustrating if you had started Tuukka Rask. He lets in one, and you still get a loss and no fantasy points, or very little fantasy points because he did have a few saves. Yeah, there was 7 o'clock games, 8 o'clock games, and then the last game of the night, even though it was Hockey Day in America, last game of the night was the Senators and Calgary Flames. Pretty good game if you're a Senators fan. They go up 2-0. They ended up letting in a goal. Then they go up 3-1, and then the Flames come back and tie it. You go to a shootout, and the Senators win. I know general manager of the Charlestown Chiefs was pretty excited. Matt Murray ends up getting a win in that game, and that pushed him over the average, giving him another point for this week. Oh, yeah, the Tom Wilson suspension, suspended 7 games. I don't know if you guys saw that, but I know captain of the Capitals, Alex Ovechkin, wasn't very happy with 7 games in a 54-game season. That is a huge suspension. Of course, Tom Wilson's been suspended before. That's why they gave him the big amount of games, but still, that's a hefty suspension in this year. Well, let's take a look at this one. This is from the Nashville-Dallas game. Let's see what it says. I got the highlight here. It says, oh boy, turn your volume way up for this.
Forsberg closes. Curls back at Diossi. Now Tolson. Runs up. He scores! Off the post it is.
Forsberg to who? Roman Yossi.
Oh, you guys are used to hearing the post on this show. Ooh, nice slap shot, though. Very nice. Oh, in the news and notes, obviously, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the passing of Walter Gretzky. I don't know how many of you guys are a big Gretzky fan, but if you grew up in a certain age, you know, sometimes it's easy not to like the best players and the best teams in your league, but Gretzky was just somebody that I think, for the most part, unless you're from Calgary, people loved. And man, I got to say, it's amazing seeing the outpouring for Walter Gretzky. I heard a story from Jerry D. I think it was on his Twitter, where he was talking about he was on his way to some show where or it was a banquet, something like that. And he gets in the limo that's taking him there, and Walter Gretzky is already sitting in the limo. And Walter kind of looks at him and says, hey, you know, you're going to this thing. What do you do? Jerry D says, oh, I'm a comedian. And apparently for the rest of the drive, Walter Gretzky just starts rhyming off joke after joke after joke the entire ride. And somebody asked him on Twitter, like, did you steal any of the jokes? And Walter absolutely, or Jerry said, absolutely. Like, they were hilarious and much funnier than any of my jokes. But that's just sounds like a really fun guy and had a good life and definitely was a great speaker too. Funny guy. So sorry to hear about his passing, of course. And, you know, we hope for all the best for the Gretzky family. I think this highlight I'm going to play for you is likely the goal of the year. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to follow it up. This one's from Matthew Barzal.
Mayfield, hard around through Jordan Eberle. Matt Barzal trying to catch up to this one. Gets there, pokes it, working on wrist alignment. Got through. Barzal between his legs!
Uses his speed as that puck gets past the Sabre defenseman. Watch this move. He's got his talent. And then to have the...
Man, have you guys seen that one? Absolutely incredible. He does the, you know, the between the legs. We've seen Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk do that a few times. But they're usually in front of the net standing still. This is on a, he's basically on a one-on-one going in fast and still pulls the move off. Incredible. What else have we got? What else have we got here? Oh, Adam Fox. Let's see what he's doing.
21 power play goals. Adam Fox carrying the puck all the way. Fox to the net. He scores.
Oh, geez.
To give the Rangers the lead.
And right through Mackenzie Blackwood.
That was Brian Leach.
Wow. That one there goes end to end. Adam Fox looking like he's definitely putting it together. Oh, here's the highlight of the hit on Brandon Carlo from Tom Wilson.
Passes off, and here's the hit on Carlo. Here comes Wilson. He's not skating, Joe. He follows through on him. His glove catches his face. It wasn't
honestly, this is the first time I'm seeing
it.
It does go all, he slides through, ooh, and just completely crushes his head against the glass. And the way Carlo goes down just holding his head, that's an ugly scene. I can see why the NHL reacted, but gosh, that's a long suspension. Oh, here's who's sure to be the rookie of the year, Kirill Kaprizov. Let's take a look.
Kaprizov holds his own, so strong on his skate. Zuccarello, Kaprizov in. He's cut off and forced outside. To Bukestad, who scores.
Wow.
What a play by Kaprizov.
Bukestad just said wow. Another big change in the NHL was the Flames, who fired their head coach, Jeff Ward, hiring former Flames coach and Stanley Cup champion with the LA Kings, Daryl Sutter. Seems like the Senators are getting a few coaches fired this year. You know, the Canadiens didn't show up against Ottawa, and they fired Claude Julien shortly after. And now in the midst of 5 games in 11 days against the Senators, Jeff Ward gets fired as well. Speaking of the Canadiens, they faced Winnipeg this week and went to overtime. Here's the highlight.
Get it fired up. He'll slow down and leave it for Nikolaj Ehlers. Into the Canadian zone. Collision between Armia and Petrie. Here's Dubois. Shoots and scores.
Dubois was rumored to go to Montreal, so that could hurt for the Canadiens fans. Nice for Winnipeg Jets fans, I'm sure, to finally see Dubois scoring a little bit more regularly. A tough one for the better Koivu as they benched Crosby this week, worrying that he might miss a few games, but he was activated from the COVID list ahead of the game against the Flyers and had a relatively good week. And with that, let's get to the news and notes in the DSR League. We've got a little bit of separation in the standings now as Burn and Zink and Leafs the rest behind are in the top two spots at 10-4, followed by Mr. Last Place and the better Koivu and Semin Steins all tied at 8-6. So that makes up our top five with only one more playoff spot left. You've got the Peter North Stars and the surprising Charlestown Chiefs tied for at 7-7 with that one playoff spot remaining. And then you've got myself, Team Sidorkowitz, Clan McKinnon, Johnny Mac's Dirty Dangles, and the Basingstoke Bison all at 6-8, one game back of the playoff spot. Alvin Simon and Shea Theodore rounding out the standings at 2-12. This past week, Mr. Last Place beat my team, Sidorkowitz, 79-66. You had Clan McKinnon getting over on the Semin Steins, 60-55. Johnny Mac's Dirty Dangles picked up a win, 63-54 over Alvin Simon and Shea Theodore. Vernon Zink blew out the competition, 90-70. That's against the Charlestown Chiefs, who still got over the average, but unfortunately didn't get a win. And another blowout game, Leafs the rest behind, scored 94 points against the Peter North Stars, 60 points in one of the biggest blowouts in league history. With that, let's get to the game of the week. Last week's game of the week was the Basingstoke Bison versus the better Koivu. Basingstoke Bison now at 6-8 and better Koivu at 8-6. This game finished 73-55. Better Koivu getting the win here. Basingstoke Bison pretty disappointed with a strong start to the week and then kind of let it go at the end. Three stars in this one. You got Chris Kreider for the losing Basingstoke Bison with 11.91 fantasy points. A huge output from Kreider. Anze Kopitar, 9.3 points. James is going to be pretty happy about that deal. We've talked about that deal in the last three shows, so definitely was a big one in the league. And it's really paying off for James this year. And finally, third star, mainly because you've got James as a big Canadiens fan and there was a lot of concern about Carey Price. Carey Price brings in 7.96 fantasy points to the better Koivu team and helps them get the win. Other big standouts, the Basingstoke Bison had Braden Schenn get 8.24 fantasy points for his center spot. And for James, Nino Niederreiter had a big week, 7.03 fantasy points there. Busts this week, you've definitely got to take a look at the Basingstoke Bison. Mackenzie Blackwood was 0.42 points on the week in your goaltender spot. You're really hoping to get a lot more out of him. Mitchell, 1.9 fantasy points. And then Ty Smith couldn't get a single point for the Bison. So he finishes with 0.15 points in a rough week for Ty Smith. We've got missed starts. Brendan Gallagher, who would have led both teams with 12.13 points. A huge week for Brendan Gallagher on James's bench. And for Anthony, Joel Farabee could have been in the lineup. 6.51 fantasy points would have been a good right winger. Get Mitchell out of there. Get that Leaf stink off the team, and you'll be much better off. Just as I look at this game, not too much standing out. We talked about the misses already. Tony had a good start to the week, but let it go in the second half. Nice to see Erik Karlsson starting to get points again over in San Jose. He ended up with 5.2 points. Taylor Hall had a really rough week, but ends up with 3.45. Is that good? I don't know. I'm struggling with Jack Eichel on my team, and I'm sure James is, you know, looking at what he's getting from Taylor Hall. Can't be happy with that. Even Leon Draisaitl with 3.87, you know, that's a low output for him on a week. And I think Anthony's kicking himself for not taking advantage. But James scored that 70 points, got 73 points. That's the mark. You got to get up to 70 if you want to win, and 55 points isn't going to do it. Let's get into the game of the week for next week. Let's cross over and see who's playing next week. So week 9 in the DSR NHL Dynasty League, you've got my team playing against Leafs the Rest Behind. I'll challenge Mark right now. We typically do a bet for every Senators and Leafs game. Winner gets the loser a booster juice with, of course, a Go Girl boost. Got to get our calcium in. And I'll challenge Mark right now on the air. You and me, whoever wins this week gets the free booster juice from the loser. Also got the better Koivu versus Johnny Mac's Dirty Dangles, Clan McKinnon versus Basingstoke Bison, Mr. Last Place against Semen Stains, Burnin' Zinc and the Peter North Stars, and Charlestown Chiefs should have a layup here against Alvin Simon and Shea Theodore. Looking at game of the week potential here, you've got the 6-8 and 6-8 Clan McKinnon versus Basingstoke Bison, and the 8-6 Mr. Last Place against the 8-6 Semen Stains. Burnin' Zinc trying to get a win against the Peter North Stars. He's in the first place position. You know what? I think that's going to be the one. Let's take a look next week at Burnin' Zinc versus the Peter North Stars. Burnin' Zinc's going to want this one to keep his lead on the league and try to make sure he secures that bye in the playoffs. Peter North Stars is trying to get the ship righted and ensure himself a playoff spot as well. So next week, we'll take a look at Burnin' Zinc and the Peter North Stars. The stars for this one are Sebastian Aho for Burnin' Zinc, and you've got Austin Matthews on the Peter North Stars, who should be able to get his game going. Now, here's something as I look at this game that we have never seen before. Burnin's is starting both goaltenders for the Edmonton Oilers, both Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith. An interesting strategy. Now, of course, if you've got games against the Senators, I can see where that makes sense. Let's see who else they're playing this week. Oh, yeah, they've got three games against the Senators, and then they play Vancouver on the Saturday. An interesting strategy from Burnin' Zinc trying to get some wins here, playing both Edmonton goalies. Okay, let's get to the midseason report cards. All right, midseason report card time. Now, just to explain how I did this, and I'll share the image with the league in a few days, but I graded on a curve, and so that means that it's going to be spread evenly who ended up getting an A and who ended up getting a B based on how everybody performed. So what we did here is I went on the league page. So basically, when you're on the website, you'll go to the main page on the standings and you can press on leaders. Under the leaders section, you'll be able to see how many points each team has got from each individual position. So your ranking in center, right wing, left wing, defense, goaltending, and flex position will all be based on how you did starting players throughout this year and how many points you earned in those positions throughout the year. You would get an A, B, C, D, or an F. I also rated personally the prospects on each team, as well as your benches. And that was definitely subjective, on my opinion, the prospects and the bench. That gave me an average grade, as well as total points. What I did is I associated an A was worth 5 points, B 4 points, C 3 points, D 2 points, and an F was still worth 1 point. So ultimately, I used all that to create a grade for everybody. And now let's take a look over each team. Now, I can't decide how I want to do this. Do I want to go in order? You know what? At the time, I sorted everybody by how they were in the standings. So let's just run by that. And there's one interesting thing here that I was surprised about. And I think a few teams are probably not going to like their ranking, or maybe some teams will think they're overranked. I can tell you there's one big surprise. One of our top teams ended up with the lowest rank in the league. So these grades are just something fun that I did, threw together in some of my fantasy football leagues. They've done this before. I can see it's a lot of work, but I tried to be as subjective as I can. So without further ado, let's talk about the Better Koivus team. The Better Koivu ended up with an A at the center position, an F at right wing, a C at left wing. Their defense got a B. Goaltending was a D. Flex position a B. A for prospects. And their bench got a B as well. This gave them an average points of 3.5 and a total points of 28. That equaled out to an A- grade for the Better Koivu. I think they've got a very good team. Should be good for a while too with that A prospect rating. Mr. Last Place ended up with a B overall. He had an A at center, a B at right wing, A at left wing, F for defense, B for goaltending. He had D at the flex position, D in prospects, and C on his bench. 3.3 average points, 26 total points was that B. You guys following me so far? The Peter North Stars are next. They ended up with the best ranking in the league. They had an A. They got a B at center ice, D at right wing, but then an A on left wing, C for defense, C for goaltending, C for flex, an A for prospects, and a B on the bench. Ended up with 3.6 average points for 29 total. Gave them that A marker. Top points in the league, or top grade in the league, if you look at this graph. Leafs the rest behind. That's the one I said people would be surprised about. They're tied for first in the league right now, but have our lowest rating on this graph. So C minus to them, and that's due to them having a B at center ice, a C on right wing, a D on left wing, B on defense. They've got an A for goaltending, Vasilevsky making sure that that's a solid position for them, but then a D in the flex position and an F for prospects, along with a D on the bench. 2.9 average points, that would make a total of 23 points, and that was our lowest amount of points across the board. C minus for Leafs the rest behind. What do you guys think about that? Let me know in the league chat. Semenstein's is next. They averaged out with a C. Centers were B, right wing C, left wing D. Semenstein's got an F at the defense position, a C at the goaltender position. His flex spot was a B, prospects were a B, bench was a C. It's an average out to 3 points, 24 total, gave him a C on the year. And again, another top team with a low rating, but that's when you break it all down. Some of these teams who are doing really well, perhaps it's just that they've scored really well this year, but over the long term, or maybe they just didn't have any of those Fs. That ends up with that average grade of a C for some of these top teams. Next, you've got the bottom team in the league, Alvin, Simon, and Shea Theodore. They end up with a C+. They've got a B at center. Right wing is a C. Left wing, A. Their defense is a D. Their goaltending is a F. Flex position, a C. Prospects are A. Bench is D. That ended up being a 3.1 average and 25 total points. Clan MacKinnon, they end up with a B minus in our grading system. C for center, C for right wing, left wing was an A, defense is a B, goaltending's a C, got an F in the flex position, prospects are a B, and the bench is a C. So 3.3 average points there, 26 total points for that B minus. Bernans Inc., one of the top teams all year, ends up with a B+. They've got a C at center ice, B right wing, B left wing, D at defense, B at goaltending, got an A for their flex position, prospects are C, and the bench is C as well. 28 total points for them. Big B+ for them. Charlestown Chiefs are next. They end up with a C+. Charlestown Chiefs got a D at center, an A on right wing, an F at left wing, an A on defense, D at goaltending, F in flex position, A for prospects, and C for a bench. Total points of 24. I mean, they have three A's on there for right wing, defense, and prospects. But fortunately, that C-plus grading is what they get at the mid-year here. But I got to say, a lot of these top teams with the C's and the lower rankings are probably just fine with that ranking as long as I can get a championship this year. Next is my own team. I ended up with a B-plus. That gives me a D at center. Got an A on the right wing, a B on the left wing, D at defense, B for goaltending, B for flex, C for prospects, and a B on the bench. 3.5 average points for 28 total points, giving me that B plus. I think you might be seeing some bias here on the gradings of my own team, but I did use that grading curve and my prospects and bench. I gave myself a C and a B. I like my prospects, and my bench is pretty good too, I thought, but maybe I'm wrong. Johnny Mac's Dirty Dangles ends up with an A minus, a D at center, but a B at right wing, C at left wing, an A on defense. The goaltending gets a C, flex gets a C, prospects an A, and the bench gets a C. That's a 3.5 average, 28 total points, and he gets an A minus. Last but not least, you've got the Basingstoke Bison. Had a really tough time at center position this year. They get an F. Right wing, though, is a B. Left wing is a B. Defense is a C. Goaltending is a C. Flex is an A. Then you've got prospects a C and bench a C. So pretty good average overall. They get 3.3 points, 26 total. That's a B minus for the Basingstoke Bison. I'll be posting this in the chat after I post this episode. Hope you all enjoy it and hope you all see that it's just for a little bit of fun. And hopefully you're not too hard on me for the ranking I gave you. Okay, so just to wrap it up, let's go over it again. Top team was the Peter North Stars with an A. Then you've got the Better Koivu with an A minus and Johnny Mac's Dirty Dangles with an A minus. Then you've got Vernon Zink and Sidorkiewicz with a B plus. Mr. Last Place got a B. You've got Clan MacKinnon with a B minus and Basingstoke Bison with a B minus. Alvin Simon and Shea Theodore get a C plus. You've got Semenstains with a C, then Leafs Arrest behind with a C minus. Oh, I missed Charlestown Chiefs there with a C plus as well. Okay, rant time. What do I want to talk about? I've got a few rule change proposals. I've been writing them down throughout the year. At the end of the year, we're going to get an opportunity to propose some of these and we'll vote on them. Typically, when we do a rule change, it won't go into effect for the next year. It'll be a year from now, but we'll determine that as we go forward, depending on how big the change is. For instance, one that I think we could go into right away for next year would be less free agent auction bidding. The idea of having 500 that would be that every player was going to be on daily waivers. So there would be more bidding on these players. But as we're seeing, most guys are going for a dollar. Only a couple of times have we had a bit of a bidding war. Actually, now that I mentioned that, I want to tell you guys about on your app, if you go to it and you take a look at the chat and activity section, for instance, you can go and take a look at the claims section. So on Thursday night, Anthony and the Basingstoke Bison really wanted to pick up Jonas Brodin. So they ended up cutting young forward Philip Zadina off of the Red Wings. Now, us Senators fans who were paying attention to that draft when we were considering either getting Zadina or Brady Tkachuk were very surprised to see Zadina go free. So a few of us put claims on it. If you go into that chat and activity section, you can actually see I ended up winning that claim. I put $350 of my $500 on Philip Zadina. But right underneath the $350, you can click on it and you can actually see what other people bid on it. So I bid $350, and that's probably good because Clan MacKinnon had a $151 bid on Philip Zadina, and Alvin Simon and Shea Theodore also had $35 on it. So a lot of teams haven't been putting big bids like that. I decided to do it because our free agency period is almost up at the start of the playoffs. I still got a lot of money And I thought it was unlikely that somebody with the pedigree of a Philip Zadina was going to get cut again. So I put a big bid on him. So take a look at that. Very interesting to see if somebody else put a bid on. I see today that Alvin Simon and Shay Theodore has picked up Philip Chytil. $51 he put on him there. A good centerman for the Rangers, a good prospect for him to pick up. Nobody else had a claim. So it's good to go back and see when you put a claim, did somebody else put a claim? And then you might know, like, for instance, I know that Clan MacKinnon and Alvin Simon and Shay Theodore were somewhat interested in picking up Philip Zadina. And Clan MacKinnon even more so because he put a big bid on. So it might be something in the future when I'm looking to get a veteran player, I can offer Zadina and have an idea that he likes that player. So good to know about where to find the claims and who else might have put a claim on a player you did. So rule changes, back to that. I did say less fab. I want to do $0 bids as well. That's something that we're right now when we do a bid, it's only you're only allowed to do a dollar. But I don't think there's much of a point if we don't change the values. So we can talk about how we can add them. Eventually, the idea of the league was that we're going to have those daily waivers. So if the league, if Flea Flicker, the website host, can end up doing that, then we'll go back and we'll look at that again. Another option I have is takeaway points. So if a player does a takeaway, do we want to start giving players points for that? Our point system is relatively minor on those things, like block shots. So I don't think it would make a major change if we added it, but it might give somebody like a Mark Stone or those other guys that are really good at the takeaways a few extra points. I also think the four IR spots we've had this year haven't been so bad. Next year, we're scheduled to go down to two IR spots. The four IR spots were just for the COVID season. I'm wondering if maybe we want to stick with four IR spots. I don't see a big problem with it. We've also got to talk about free agent ads after the NHL season. Do we want to lock it at another time? Right now, it's locked all the way to the draft. Problem is, you like having those standout players be available in the draft, but maybe we can open free agency during the off season and then close it again once the NHL season starts up, then it reopens before the draft, something we can talk about. Also was thinking about making the second goalie position we have like a super flex style. So if you don't have a second goalie, you could put another centerman in there or somebody else. But that's something to talk about as well. And then I did have a request from one of the league managers, Dave, from Mr. Last Place. He wanted to get a point in for game-winning goals. So we can definitely do a vote on that. Please let me know if you've got any other rule change proposals. I'll write them down and we can bring them up at the end of the year. I do find game-winning goals is a bit of a subjective situation. You know, if you score the third goal for a team in the first period and then they let in two more goals, now your 3-0 goal that you scored is now the game-winning goal, but it was a pretty meaningless goal at the time. So is it worth getting extra points than, you know, those goals that the other team scored to try to come back? You know, maybe a game-tying goal point. Something to talk about anyway. Let's see, what else has got me? Oh, I got into a conversation with my brother about a trade today. He made an absolutely fair trade to me, sending me a centerman and two defensemen for a top player of mine and a top pick. I think one thing people got to remember is that when you send a trade where you're sending me three players and I'm sending you back one, that means I also need to cut two players. And most people like the players on their roster or else they would have cut them already and added somebody else. So when you're sending a trade, you got to remember that the value, even if those two players that I'd have to cut don't go to John, it still means that's two players off my roster that I like. So I'm losing their value regardless of what it is. And of course, players on your roster are always more valuable to you. So you've got to count that value in, even if you're not getting it and you're sending that value to the waiver wire. It's still lost value for the team getting it. And for the most part, the way I trade is I rarely like to be the one that's getting three players in the 3-for-1 deal. I'd rather get the big time player and I'll give you three players. Having said that, I feel like I have a strong bench and I could definitely send out some 3-for-1 offers for those of you that are looking to trade big players. But I do find this league, it's too often the trade offers that are coming out are for the top players in the league. Let's do a, you know, a bench deal, something a little bit smaller. I definitely want to add a defenseman. So holler at me, get me a defenseman if you can. Help me get into the playoffs. It's looking like if you're not in the top 2, 3, 4 spots in the league, you don't know if you're going to make it, if you're going to be out. So as it stands right now, we've got 14 days until the trade deadline. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be there or not. So hopefully I get 2 points in this week against Leafs the rest behind. I'll have a better chance at making the playoffs, have a delicious booster juice. And maybe be able to make some deals knowing that I'm going to be in the playoffs and I can trade those younger players for some older players, just like James did. And he's looking like he's going to secure that playoff spot and go for it this year. Really trying to work on that energy thing, get my energy up. I've got 2 coffees here, 1 hot one, 1 iced coffee. And I'm just trying to make the show exciting for you guys. And I'll keep working on my voice, try to be more funny. I don't know how to really make jokes and not hear people laugh or see their facial expressions. And I'm trying to find ways to mix in some laughter, but it's really difficult, really tough without seeing somebody. I've also been debating on more sound effects. That's why we tried out some goal calls here in this week's news and notes. And, you know, last week in the audio, there was a lot of hard P's. If you don't know what a hard P is, it's when you say plays the puck and it pops like that. I don't know if you could hear it in that one, but I could really hear them when I was listening to the show yesterday. And there's a funny South Park clip when they were making a movie about hard P's. And I was thinking about putting that in, but you know, maybe I'll just drop it right here.
Okay, here's the script, but it doesn't have an ending.
No ending?
Well, we can't animate until we have our voices recorded, so we better just record what we have and figure out the ending later.
Okay, talk directly in the mic and don't hit any hard P's.
What's a hard P?
You know, first thing in the morning when it just won't come out. Oh, yeah.
I hope you guys enjoyed that and enjoyed my ramblings. Let's move on. Big thanks to everyone for putting up with me in this attempted episode. With that, we'll wrap up this week's show. Please, if you have thoughts or ideas for the show, tweet me at CMAC Canada. Thanks for listening.